A long time ago, thousands of years ago, there was a group of people. And this group of people was conquered by another kingdom. And this other kingdom made them take their belongings and move away from their homeland. This other kingdom spread them around their kingdom so that they were isolated and far from home. They lived among people who spoke a language that they didn't understand. They struggled to grow crops and soil and weather patterns that were unfamiliar to them. They were hungry. They were homesick. They missed their friends and their family. And during this time, they heard stories about gods from their neighbors. They heard about gods who fought with one another. They heard about gods who created human beings to be slaves to the gods. They heard about gods who played tricks on people just to watch them suffer. They even heard a creation story in which one god slashed open another god and flung his guts around the universe to create the stars and the planets. And this group of people, they weren't buying it. They didn't believe the stories about these gods. And so they told a story about their god. They told a story about a god who didn't fight with other gods because there were no other gods. This god was a supreme being above all. They told a story about a god who was all-powerful, who merely spoke to bring creation into existence. They told a story about a god who didn't create humans to be slaves, but created humans to have dominion over the earth, to be stewards of this beautiful, beautiful creation. And this story that these people told was a bold claim of faith. These people who were struggling to survive, who were homesick and hungry and lonely, made a claim about a God who created the earth with an intention for goodness and harmony. These people made a claim about a God who loves them so much that they are created in God's image. The story that these people told about their God was a bold claim of faith. Why did they do that? Why did these people who were struggling to survive, who felt that God had abandoned them, tell a story of a God who is good and a God who loves them? The Israelites told this story because this is the God that they knew. This is the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. This is the God who promised Abraham that the world would be redeemed through his descendants. This is the God who freed them from slavery in Egypt. This is the God who brought the valley of the dry bones back to life. This is the God who is faithful to a promise, even when it seems that all hope is lost. The Israelites claim a God who is good and who loves them because this is the God that they know. And this is the God that we praise tonight as we sing Alleluia. This is the God who has sent Jesus as a fulfillment of the promise to Abraham. Now I'm going to make a bold claim of faith tonight. I'm going to make the bold claim that Jesus, the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham, who came to show us the way of the kingdom of God, who is the light of the world, did not die to save us from our sins. That Jesus did not die to save us from the wrath of God. Many preachers have claimed for a long time that Jesus had to die to save us from God. That Jesus had to pay the price to satisfy God's honor. That Jesus had to pay the debt. And I am making a bold claim of faith that that is not at all what happened. I don't believe that that is true, because that story is inconsistent and incompatible with the God the Israelites tell us about in the creation story. I don't believe that that's true, because that story is inconsistent and incompatible with the God that Jesus proclaims to us in the Gospels. A benevolent, all-powerful, all-knowing God who can speak the earth into existence, who creates humans in God's own image to have dominion over the earth, does not require the sacrifice of an innocent human being to forgive us. The God that Jesus proclaims, a God of love and nonviolence, a God who reaches into the margins to speak to the woman at the well, to tell the paralyzed man to pick up his mat and walk, does not require an act of horrendous violence to forgive us. God does not need to save us from God. God simply forgives us every time. Jesus was killed by the powers of the world. And in dying, he took on the hate and the suffering and the evil of the world. And in rising again, Jesus reminds us that the powers of the world do not have power over God. In rising, Jesus reminds us that God has power over evil and sin and death. And that there is always, always new life. Paul writes to the Romans that if we die in Christ, we will live in him again. Whatever is plaguing us, worry and fear and anxiety, illness, addiction, food, alcohol, drugs, a terrible relationship, a conflict in our family, an awful work situation, whatever is plaguing us does not have power over God. There is always, always possibility for new life. Sometimes new life comes in big, bold ways. I have a friend who recently got laid off from a job that she hadn't had for very long. And it was a pretty big surprise. This company had recruited her from her last job, and all of a sudden one day they just let her go. And she was sad, and she was angry, and she felt betrayed. Shortly thereafter, she started getting phone calls left and right about consulting jobs. And interestingly, she had been setting up her career in the last few years to start working sometime eventually as a consultant, because she knew that it would bring more flexibility to her family. And here, from this death and loss, came this opportunity for a new life. Sometimes new life comes in teeny tiny ways, like when you ruin dinner and it's gross and nobody will eat it. But what you cobble together instead turns out to be a really amazing, fun meal because everybody gets to laugh at how you messed up dinner. New life. Sometimes it comes in medium ways. When you come home from work and you're cranky and crabby and tired and you yell at your kids or you snap at your spouse, and you find yourself in a moment where you have the opportunity to apologize and ask for forgiveness, where you get to confess that you're not perfect all the time, and you get to reconcile that broken relationship. And there is death and new life. I've begun to wonder lately, there's sort of a correlation between the size of the loss and the size of God's grace. The bigger the death, the bigger the new life. Sometimes the death happens in a moment. Sometimes it's long and dragged out and painful. Sometimes the new life happens in a moment. And sometimes it takes so long for that new life that you wonder whether or not it's coming. And then it does. Death and new life. Death and new life. And in that process, we are transformed. We are reborn and we are renewed and we are made new again. And in our transformation, the world is transformed. God's redeeming work happens each and every day in each new life that we experience. God's saving work in the world is the work that we do. Suffering and evil and hate, they happen. And then God's grace happens, and God's love happens, and God's forgiveness happens. And we are one step closer to the salvation that God has planned for the world. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Hallelujah.
Christ is risen.
Hallelujah.
Christ is risen.